All right, y'all bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for this wonderful feast. We thank you for the beautiful brethren and sisters that we have here. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the food, just the friendship, just everything, Father. It's just more than we could ask for. And Father, I pray that you guide my words. Let they be yours. And anything that is true, let it be heard and let it soak in. And anything that is not of you, Father, let it just be ignored and let it fall to the ground and forgotten. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. In Yahshua's name, hallelujah. So, I was asked a while back what it meant to fear Yahweh. There was a sister that called in, and I'm sure she's probably listening, and she's probably freaking out a little bit. But she had called in and asked what the fear of Yahweh, what does it mean to fear Yahweh? And that was a long conversation. I'll say that much. That was a very long conversation. And it got me thinking, maybe I should just kind of go through and try to give my best take on what it means to fear Yahweh. So what does it mean to fear Yahweh? Is it a feeling of dread? Like when you're a child, you hear a bump in the night. Is that the fear of Yahweh? When you're up in your tent or your camper and you hear something scratching on the walls and you're spooked out a little bit, is that the fear of Yahweh? Should we shake and tremble like the song said, like at the mention of his name? Or is it a sense of awe and respect? Is the fear of Yahweh the recognition of majesty that surrounds the Father? Is that what the fear of Yahweh is? Well, I mean, it's definitely respect and awe. There's no doubt about that. But it is also the fear in the traditional sense. However, I also believe it's something much more than that that's not really thought about. The biblical definition of fear points to something far deeper and more meaningful than just shaking in your boots or being flabbergasted at what you're seeing, just awe. You have a lack of speech. All of those things are correct. Don't misunderstand. Those things are correct. And there are biblical examples of all of those things. But there's definitely more to it than that. Let's start over in Proverbs chapter 1. And by the way, this sermon took me a long time to put together, so I'm expecting it to last a really long time. We'll see. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So right away, there's something different about the fear of Yahweh. You're not, shaking in terror, and you're not necessarily in awe and respect. So what is it? What is the fear of Yahweh? Well, fear says right here is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but a fool despises wisdom and instruction, that would imply that the fear of Yahweh is wisdom and acceptance of instruction. So, whenever you think of, what is the fear of Yahweh? I mean, a lot of people think about the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, right? They trembled, and they were rightfully terrified. Don't get me wrong. I think if we saw what they saw, we'd probably be shaking in our boots too, and standing in awe and wondered. However, Proverbs and many other scriptures throughout the scriptures show that there's another layer to this that we're not seeing. Over in Proverbs chapter 2, there's a lot of Proverbs in this, by the way. It talks about fear of Yahweh a lot. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of Yahweh and find knowledge of Elohim. So here we have a lot to unpack. There's a lot. Everything preceding thou shalt understand the fear of Yahweh is what the fear of Yahweh is. All of those things. So to understand the fear of Yahweh, we must receive his words, hide his commandment within us, which will cause us to incline our ears to wisdom, apply our heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, lift up our voices for understanding. And I say sleekest, I meant seekest, typo, oops. If we seekest her understanding as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then we will understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of Elohim. This is sounding less and less like the spooky kind of fear and more like something a little deeper. Over in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride. Again, another typo there. Another, and the forward mouth do I hate. So when we properly fear Yahweh, we must emulate Yahweh. Yahweh hates evil. He hates pride, arrogancy, and a forward mouth. So to fear Yahweh is to hate those things. To fear Yahweh is to live righteously. Now, I don't know how, I mean, for me, until I really dug into it, it really didn't, I never really understood why, and I'll be honest with you, I still don't completely understand why Yahweh chose the word fear for this. But he did. To fear Yahweh is to live righteously. And I suppose that does apply. If you fear Yahweh, you're going to emulate him. You don't want him to be upset with you, so you're going to emulate him. Further on in Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. If we are emulating Yahweh and we are living righteously in the fear of Yahweh, we will be given that fountain of life and escape the snares of death. Now this really ties in, this really does tie in with what Yahweh gives us in Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament, back when everything was kind of just being established or reestablished, as some believe. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, 11 through 20, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou should say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day good life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love thy Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And Yahweh the Elohim shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other mighty ones and serve them, I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love Yahweh, thy Elohim, that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yahweh swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. So, back in Proverbs, the fear of Yahweh is the fountain of life, right? And Yahweh sits before us life and good and death and evil. And he says, choose life. And another big thing we have to gather from Deuteronomy 30 is there is no excuse. There is no excuse. The righteousness of Yahweh, his ways, his paths, everything is right here in front of your face. It's not in heaven. We don't have to send a rocket ship up to try to retrieve it. It's not across the sea. You don't have to get on a boat or an airplane to fly over and find it. We have it. It's right here. It's not a mystery. It's right in front of our faces. And he calls heaven and earth to witness against us, to testify against us for this fact. To walk in Yahweh's light, to embrace his teaching, his commands, and his righteousness is to understand the fear of Yahweh. We know that this life is short, painful, and transitory. I mean, we have people here who have, I mean, it's been less than a week, and we've had people sick, we've had injuries. I mean, our bodies are frail. Our time on this earth is short. But it's better to have a short, painful, trial-filled life and live it in the fear of Yahweh and the righteousness of Yahweh than to have a long, meaningless life and miss out on eternity. Proverbs 15, chapter 16. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure and trouble therewith. I mean, this kind of goes along with what Brother Joshua was talking about in his presentation this morning, in his workshop. You're going to go out and work the land. It's going to be hard work. We're probably going to experience things that we never thought we would experience. You know, we're so used to having a cell phone. I can call my family member on the opposite side of the planet and complete a conversation with him in 45 seconds. That's miraculous. If the people back then saw that, their brains would probably explode. But it's better to live righteously with less or nothing or little than it is to have so much and not understand what it is to live righteously in the fear therewith. And it says the great treasure and the trouble therewith. Yes, we have these blessings. We have these phones and internet and television. We have all these things. And they can be blessings. They can be, absolutely. They're a tool like everything else. But with these luxuries comes trouble. The boundary between you and sin is, it was always thin, but it's thinner now than it has ever been. It is easier to find yourself wrapped up in something you shouldn't be than it has ever been in the history of this world, I'm convinced. I mean, if you want access to something, it's there. Again, just like that phone call around the world, it doesn't take 30 days, it takes 30 seconds. Around the world are 80 days. Sin is right in front of you at all times, and we have the tools to bring it from afar off right into our laps. And with those treasures, because I think what we have is great treasure. We have wealth and technology and things like that, and they're amazing, but they come with trouble. Over in 2 Samuel, the Elohim of Israel said, "The Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim." Now, what does that mean? How does one rule in the fear of Elohim? It's almost like the fear of Elohim is a state of being. To live in fear seems contrary to what Scripture tells us to say, tells us to do, to live in fear. We sing about it all the time. I'm no longer a slave to fear. But here, it says he needs to, that the he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim. So here we have a tie with being just and ruling in fear. To rule in the fear of Yahweh is to rule righteously. To lead an assembly in the fear of Yahweh is to do so righteously. I still have trouble wrapping my head around that, thinking about that, because we're told time and time again, you know, don't be not afraid, you know. But this is, in my opinion, this is showing us that there's different types of fear. Over in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not." Hold on a minute. "For Elohim has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Wait a minute. Fear not, because his fear is in front of your faces. Again, I don't know why they chose to use the word fear. And if you look it up, they are, in fact, two separate words, but they have a very similar meaning. But again, here we see his fear may be before your faces that ye sin not. So there's something about properly fearing Yahweh that will make you less likely to sin. It's strange that we are to fear not, yet his fear will be before our faces. That is something that we're going to have to try to study a little bit more into. And I definitely think we're dealing with two different words and two types of fear. Yahweh's not coming to scare his people into obedience, however sometimes that happens. He's going to prove them, for Elohim has come to prove you, and show them how to live righteously. I mean, Exodus 20, he just gave the Ten Commandments here. Believe me, there were some people trembling on the ground when this was going on. Rightfully so. I still can't get over that, by the way. Little side note, I don't get how you can walk through the Red Sea, how you can have the pillar of fire, how you can have all of this. Moses turns his back, and you're just right back into it. I mean, I say I don't understand it, but if there's one thing we've learned from Scripture is that mankind has a very short memory. Back on track. The people were frightened at the sight of Yahweh, at the sight of his majesty that was at the top of the mountain. The storm, the thunders, I mean, just all of these things. They were frightened. But they were taught the fear of Yahweh is actual righteous living in obedience. If we live righteously, Yahweh will show us the promise of his covenant. Over in Psalm chapter 25, verse 14. The secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There's a lot in this little tiny verse right here. The secret of Yahweh. What is the secret of Yahweh? Is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I believe the secret of Yahweh is his covenant. I mean, it's followed right there. Is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. To fear Yahweh out of fright, to fear Yahweh out of reverence, it's not enough. Yahweh doesn't need you or you or you, anybody, shaking in their boots. He doesn't need that. It serves no purpose for him, for you to be terrified of him. Even though you'll likely be, if you're on the wrong side of things, I understand that. But that's not the intention. Yahweh doesn't need you scared to death. He wants you living your life for him so he can spend eternity with you. Now, why would he want you to be terrified of him if he's going to spend eternity with you? Are we just going to sit there and shake and tremble in perpetual fear forever? I don't think so. I don't think so. So is it possible to be scared of Yahweh like you're scared of a natural disaster coming your way or an intruder in your home? I think you can be. I think you can be, and I think there are some situations where that's likely justified. Can you be scared of Yahweh to the point to where you're looking at something happening that you can't explain, and you are speechless? Yes, absolutely. But that is not the core of the issue. To fear Yahweh is to live for Yahweh. To fear Yahweh is to obey Yahweh. To fear Yahweh is to receive the blessings of the covenant that he made so long ago with our forefathers. Over in Psalm chapter 34. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh is something that can be taught. Being scared is not something that's taught. Being speechless is not something that's taught. This fear is something that can be taught. And what do we teach? I believe, after my study in this, I believe the teaching of obedience to Yahweh's word, the teaching of righteous living, of loving your neighbor, of all of the fundamentals of our faith. I believe those things and the fear of Yahweh are synonymous. I believe they can be interchanged. Come and I will teach you the law of Yahweh. I will teach you to obey Yahweh, to hear Yahweh, to listen to Yahweh, to live for Yahweh. This is a very broad term here with fear. To fear Yahweh is to understand Yahweh and his ways. We have to teach our children this fear. We have to impart this wisdom and this understanding of Yahweh and his truth. Because if we don't, they will know true fear. If we don't teach our children, we don't teach our families, they will know fear in its classic sense. Because I think if there's one thing you're going to be scared of is when everything has come to a head, New Jerusalem's coming out of heaven, and you don't get to go in, or your children don't get to go in. Think of that. They're outside weeping and gnashing their teeth. That is not something I want. If we do these things, Yahweh will give the increase. If we teach righteousness, if we teach obedience, if we teach love, if we teach all of these cornerstones of our faith, we are teaching the fear of Yahweh. And if we teach the fear of Yahweh, he will give increase. Over in Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Then had the assemblies rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of Yahweh and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. These assemblies understood what the fear of Yahweh meant. They walked in righteousness. They were comforted by the Holy Spirit. And they were multiplied. If we walk righteously, do as we are commanded to do in Scripture, do things like keep the feast, and observe the Sabbaths and the new moons. I think it's interesting that we have had workshops on all of those things. You know what? Like what? So the new moons. What's the big deal with the new moons anyway? We're told to do it. That's what the big deal is with the new moons. Why the feasts? Because we're told to do it. And I like to think things like observing the new moon and keeping something like this feast is not a burden. When we love and help those in need, when we edify and uplift the brethren, that is walking in the fear of Yahweh. Yahweh is all-knowing, all-powerful. He's all-present. Trusting in Yahweh requires that we fear him. We serve Yahweh, who happens to hate sin. We need to fear Yahweh to overcome that sin. We should absolutely be in awe of him, as he is the one who can destroy both the body and soul. But to truly fear Yahweh is to understand his will in his path to life everlasting for his people. Yahweh wants his people to want him. And in this fear, we can truly understand what it is that he requires of his people. I think it's easy to think of Yahweh as a far off imagine, like an idea. It's easy to think of him as He's this, and he is untouchable in that sense. But it's easy to think of him as a. I think the scriptures were accurate when it says we cannot conceive what it is that he is, what he has in store. I truly believe that. I think it is impossible for us to truly encapsulate what it means to be Yahweh. I don't think we have any clue. However, I think that if we can get in line with that fear of Yahweh, we can begin to at least scratch the surface of the tip of an iceberg, that what it means to be Yahweh, what it means to follow and love and worship him. There's a lot that we can do. You know, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the new moons, helping each other. You know, we've had issues at this feast. There's always going to be issues. Where Yahweh's people are, there are issues. So it's how we react to those things that gives us that depth, that true understanding of the fear of Yahweh that I think we so desperately need. A lot of times I think we get stuck just going through the motions. And I don't think we truly understand why we do what we do. And Sister Judy got up here and talked about the inspiration that she received from this feast. And I think we have to carry that. We have to carry that inspiration through the whole year, because we have a lull coming up all the way up through the spring. And I hope, my hope is that when we leave this feast, we truly understand what it means to fear Yahweh. And like I said, we had the calendar workshop where we talked about the significance of the new moons, to do those things, these seemingly small things, like going out and to look for a new moon, or to live a humble life off the land, which is something I also believe that we will be made to do. To do those things is good, and to do those things is to live in the fear of Yahweh, because, like I said, we have access to so much. We have access to so much technology and so many riches. I mean, ask the brothers from Kenya. I mean, talk about excess. I mean, we are blessed here more than we can possibly know. And, you know, with those things are good. Those things are good. However, it's easy to get lackadaisical and lazy. And we can't let those things come in between us and walking righteously. We have to be willing to, you know, there was a sermon, I can't remember who gave it, forgive me, but we talked about the rich man who came to Yeshua and said, you know, hey, I'm a law keeper, I do these things. And Yeshua said to give up all that you have and follow me. Now, I know that we think, you know, oh, well, I would do it. But if you think about it, do you really think, and it doesn't seem like much, but imagine taking your cell phone. Let's just use the thing that everybody knows. Take your cell phone, throw it in the trash, and don't even think about it again. Like, that's a big deal. It doesn't seem like much. That's a huge deal to be able to do that. And I think as we continue to study Yahweh's word, I'm praying that we can understand what it truly means to fear Yahweh. And I pray that Yahweh continues to bless us there in this feast. Yeah, we only have one official day left, and then we have the last great day. You know, those things are sad reality. But we still have time. My dad always said, every day you're on the right side of the dirt is a good day. And, you know, there's a lot of people on the right side of the dirt. And we have to teach our children the fear of Yahweh, to live righteously. You can't just go to the feast. You have to teach those around you why you do the feast. It's not enough to just say, hey, I'm going to the feast, to your friends and family. You have to explain why you're going to the feast. Because like I said, over in Acts, they walked in the fear of Yahweh and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. If you live righteously, Yahweh will multiply his people. And I pray Yahweh has mercy on us while we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. And I hope we have a fuller understanding of what fear of Yahweh actually means. And I pray that we are able to understand that we are not to be overcome by a sense of dread in that way, but that when we properly fear Yahweh, we will act and move boldly in the word. And when we do that, Yahweh will give his spirit, just like he did to the assemblies in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. When we walk boldly in the fear of Yahweh, when we walk boldly in righteousness, Yahweh's citizenship of his kingdom is going to multiply. That is our entire purpose, is to bring as many people to that kingdom as we can get. I don't read sign language, Javon. I don't know what you're trying to tell me. 31. Thanks, Jay Love. I mentioned I haven't gotten a lot of sleep this feast. Have a brand new baby boy, and I tell you, he does not like to cooperate with his nap schedule. Anyway, let's ignore that. Anyway, I pray that we have a full understanding of what it means to fear Yahweh. Because I think if we truly fear Yahweh, I believe we will be closer to him than we have ever been. And I think that we, just in observing the feast, is a good step. And if you have questions, if you're unsure of something, ask your brethren. That's why we keep this feast. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we have to do. If you're unsure about something, if you don't know why we do something, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Everybody is where they're at in their own walk. And we have to be there to help people, to give that increase that Yahweh gives us. So again, I pray that Yahweh blesses the rest of this feast. I pray that we have a little bit clearer understanding, despite all of my typos, of the fear of Yahweh and what it truly means to live in fear. Not in a traditional sense. We have to be bold. It's strange to say, go forth boldly in fear. It's strange, but that's exactly what Scripture tells us to do. Go boldly and live righteously. Praise Yahweh.